2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
The long-awaited return of the NBA Daily Dispatch, brought to you by DFSArmy.com. Hey, join us today by using the promo code PODCAST. Get yourself 10% off each month of your subscription. With that, you get access to the Domination Station, which builds up to 150 lineups for you in one click, VIP articles and tools to help customize your GPP lineups, and, of course, Slack chat that we got going on, which is open 24/7, 365. Once again, kids, DFSArmy.com. Use the promo code PODCAST. I'm your host, Al Walsh. Find me on that Twitter machine at 14A.Walsh. Find Keith Hall over there as well at Boomers DFS Daddy. Hey, happy New Year, Keith, and hope the holidays went well and everything.
Yeah, I hope they did too. Nah, they were actually kind of good. It was a lot of fun. It wasn't too crazy or anything, and it was a lot of fun. So I am extremely happy with the outcome of everything. Well, about 95% of things. Now I just have to replace the kitchen sink on Saturday, and other than that, get to enjoy ourselves again.
Indeed, indeed. Now, folks, things will be getting back to normal, especially today, Wednesday. Now, I say things get back to normal, and then on Thursday we got a two-game slate. So, you know, of course, things will be pretty slow around here. But I'm very excited to get back to the articles and the podcast and doing everything like that. I mean, we haven't done a podcast since, I think, what was that, December 22nd? And I got a lot of basketball to talk about today. But, again, condolences for your Sooners yesterday.
I don't want to talk about it.
I know. I just want to breathe because I wanted to talk about – because I'm down here in Miami right now. So I was actually out on a Bumble date on Saturday. Shout-outs to Steph. She said she would listen today. So got to give her the shout-out there. But I go out on on Saturday out around the Miami area, and, man, they are fanatics about the U around here, Keith. Everybody's throwing up the U.
Are you just now figuring this out?
No, I knew, but, you know, like in Jersey, you really don't get a whole lot of, like, college sports enthusiasm. Like, it's a lot of enthusiasm for, like, the Giants or the Jets, the Knicks. It's a lot of pro sports enthusiasm. Man, they get into it, man. Because Saturday was the Orange Bowl, so I actually wasn't too far from the stadium there. But yeah, it was pretty cool. Now I start throwing up the U because why not? Everybody loves to do that. But I start throwing a little too much shoulder into it. And the girl I was out with just immediately said, no, that's not how we do the U. You just, you know, the U is like Yeah, I was giving it a lot of pizzazz with
you.
Just kind of calmly
throw it up.
Yeah. Boom. And then I was also looking for the turnover chain while I was out on Saturday, and I did not find one. But I certainly would have put one on, you know. And again, it's not like Miami was creating a bunch of turnovers that day. Oh, slap. Damn.
Ouch. Stephanie is not happy with you now.
Not happy.
So, but... let's just talk about Trae Young.
Trae Young.
Anyways, okay, so for all those that don't know, I am obviously a huge Oklahoma Sooners fan.
Huge fan.
I got a Fitbit. My wife bought me a Fitbit for Christmas.
Those are good.
Actually, technically, I bought it. She just paid for it with her fantasy football winnings.
Santa brought it. But see,
here's the thing is I paid for her entry into the team. So technically, she was going to give me back the $100 for buying her team and just keep the rest of the money. Uh-huh. So technically, she just basically took that $100 that she was going to give me back and went and bought me one. So I looked at my heart rate monitor yesterday during the game, and it did not go below 95.
Oh, wow.
And it was all the way up to, like, 120 at some point. I was in fat-burning mode the whole game.
I can see
according
that.
According to my Fitbit. So, anyways, it's one of those things. I've never experienced such high and such low in my entire life in such a short amount of time. It was unbelievably – and see, in the turning point in the game last night is not the turning point that everybody thinks it is. It is not when, all this other stuff started happening in the second half. The turning point is about 10 seconds left to go in the first half.
Oh, this was dumb. This was real
and,
dumb.
And Siebert miskicks, quote-unquote, supposedly, a squib kick. And it turns into basically an onside kick. We give them a free 3 points. A free 3 points.
Free.
It literally – now, granted, the Georgia kicker made a good kick. It was still a long field goal. But if you kick that ball deep and, kick it out of the end zone, then guess what? They have to make 3 plays in order to get into field goal range, or 2, or 1 long one, and I'll take my chances with that more than having to make a 1 8-yard out route pass, and they get a field goal kick.
Yeah,
that's basically a free 3 points. That's the game right there.
Yeah, and now, you know what? Too, nobody saw the knee that Baker Mayfield took to the kidneys. I thought it was clear as day. Clear as day. I'm like, what is this?
The refs, they did a great job keeping their flags in their pockets until the pass interference call in the end zone, which was not pass interference, by the way.
I mean, there were so many damn end zone plays in that game. they ran into one of the other.
It's the only one they called. It's the only pass interference called they called the whole game. But they choose that time. They missed, and they probably missed it on both sides. But I'm just saying, like, the knee to Baker, that should have been automatic first down, which would have helped. There were so many different options. But here's the thing, is you come out and you dominate that much in the first half, there should have never been a question in the second half. And kudos to Georgia. They made adjustments and everything like that. I'm not saying that. But you have got to be smarter. There's no reason why you should be fielding the kickoffs at the one. There is no reason that – there were so many different things that should not have been done that could have won you the game. And it's not even funny. Yep. So there's my takes for all you Georgia fans that were thinking that your defense was going to shut down our offense. Nice try, good call. You got to understand that you have not seen an offense like a Big 12 offense until you've played the Big 12 offense. We were talking about this last night. At my buddy's house, there is no way that really any defense in today's college football game can consistently stop an offense as potent as the OU offense. Consistently.
Yeah. I'd agree. And I've told you many a times, I'm a huge Baker Mayfield fan. Obviously sad for you to see him go. But I do know that your boy in waiting, Kyler Murray, I actually got a good look at it. I used to work for a company called Crossover. And what I would do is I would watch game film and chart the plays, just so it's easier for coaches to, go back to a certain situation during the game. And the first – I remember it was my training game, and Kyler Murray was – it was a high school game. One of the Texas playoff games. Man, that kid is electric. So you lose Mayfield, but you get a guy that is, as equally amazing.
Yeah, they said earlier in the season that he is, since they've been doing this, he is the highest rated quarterback to ever come out of high school, ever.
Yeah. I mean, and that game film that I watched, it was as advertised. He's really good. So that should be a good thing for you. I got to say, too, so today I'm doing the podcast outside while I'm down here in Miami. I don't think I'm ever going back to Jersey. You know it's like 10 degrees there?
Yeah, it's
there's a couple of days where it's going to be like single digits. Nah, there's no need for me. I just golfed yesterday on January 1st. Why the hell would I ever go back to a New Jersey winter?
Yeah, it's
zero need for that.
I think 19 here.
My condolences.
So we should be up by 40 by the end of the week, though.
That's not bad. All right, let's get into some basketball. I know the people have been waiting in for it for a while. I have even been myself, so always a fun opening rant. But we do have five games to get into today, so let's break it down with the point guards as we got the sirens in the background. No, they're not looking for me, but it's a hectic area around here. So, look, I'm looking right at it. We got the best ADVP matchup for a point guard on tonight's slate. Dennis Schroeder is the guy with that honor. You rolling with him tonight?
Probably not. I don't say that. I don't know. It's going to depend on how I want to build my teams. Right now, I don't mind it. Dennis Schroeder's kind of hit or miss. He's been more miss over the long haul consistently lately. Against Dallas, he did pop out of 48. But, you know, against Dallas and Memphis, 35 is what his max. I mean, you're hoping to get 40 at 77. That's a lot of salary to maybe get 40 points.
Sure.
If Lillard is out, you could go back to Shabazz Napier. Yes, I know he's 6,500, but he's shown a higher ceiling than Schroeder more consistently.
And yeah, I like the level of comfortability with Napier.
Yeah, I mean, he's just, I mean, honestly, really, if Austin Rivers is out, you can go back to Milos Teodosic.
Not a Milos guy. Not a scorer. Not a fan.
Actually, no, you can't. Never mind. Not at 5,700.
I like the fancy passes. That's fun. But, you know, you still get 1.5 for an assist.
No, I get that, but I seem to remember that he had a better game at one point, and I guess not. I guess his ceiling was a 28. So, yeah, I mean, point guard isn't...
Milos is a good name for, like, a cat or something like that. Not necessarily a point guard.
Point guard isn't really, like... I mean, if Austin Rivers is out, I don't know. It's just, I mean, Frank Mason's out, so...
Yep, this is the next situation we wanted to talk about.
I guess you could go to George Hill, pick up a ton of minutes, but I mean,
gotta add to there too, with De'Aaron Fox listed as questionable. Now he is.
Oh, De'Aaron Fox is out. Like he's listed more towards probable, I think right now. Hold on. I'm looking. But if De'Aaron Fox is out, he's a partial right or a tear in the right quad. How can you play this dude?
Here's what I was going to say about Fox is that, like, I expected him, you know, he was supposed to be out for, like, another week or two. But I think the fact of Mason being out definitively, that is, you know, that's why Fox is questionable. I really don't.
No, screw that. Just run Garrett Temple at the backup point.
Yeah, you can do it. And, by the way, Temple going to be playing small forward, one of the better matchups against Charlotte, surprisingly, this season. But we will get there in the next position. But, yeah, again, George Hill should be fine. I don't think Fox is going to play. And even if he does play, you know, maybe that's a good thing because maybe it scares people off George Hill. But I know that, again, you just mentioned it. The guy's got a torn quad, you know, like – that's not good. You know, he's not going to be right. He's going to be running like he's in a three-legged sack race or something like that. So, no, I think Hill's pretty damn safe this season. And remember, Charlotte, they have not been that good against point guard this season. So this is a good spot to go to.
Nah, they've been better recently, but I think that's just basically based on the quality of point guards that they've faced.
Hill don't play that, man.
I mean, you sit there and you think about it. They just played the Clippers, Golden State without Curry. You know, the best guard that they've played recently have been either Kyle Lowry or Kyrie Irving. So that's kind of, you know, made it a little bit, you know, skewed. But with that said, I mean, it's kind of a neutral matchup. And when you got a guy that's under 5K, that's probably going to play close to 30 minutes, that's probably going to have a ton of opportunity barring foul trouble or injury. I mean, it's, I mean, we've seen this with Shabazz Napier. We've seen it with Tyler Ulis, or not Tyler Ulis, Tyus Jones. I mean, you just kind of lock and load them up and go from there. It's not, there's such situations as good chalk and bad chalk, and good value chalk and bad value chalk. I don't think that George Hill, I mean, we've played George Hill even with, Fox and Mason in the lineup. You want to talk about getting one of them out? Yeah, I'm not.
Like, and again, I'm calling the bluff here. Or both of them out for you know, for Sacramento tonight. So I think Hill's he's squarely in play for me tonight.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one.
Your favorite player in the NBA, Kemba Walker. He's gotten off to a good start on this West Coast road trip. 43 against Golden State, 39 against the Clippers. Any interest here going with him? I know he's not as cheap as the other guys, but
this is a very slower. I mean, this is a pace down spot for the Hornets. I mean, this total's only 205. I mean, I don't mind it. But, I mean, he's the most expensive point guard on the – other than Damian Lillard, who hasn't played in five games. I don't know. It's – I never like playing Kemba, but the situation at the point guard position might kind of force me to a little bit. So, yeah.
All right. I'm looking at the Phoenix situation. That's always a great matchup against ATL. Schroeder, one of the worst, not only defensive point guards in the league, but one of the worst defenders in the entire league. Can you try to make some situation work here with Phoenix against them?
I mean, you could try.
it's like that Aaliyah song.
The question is... The problem I have with the Phoenix guards right now is it's literally a hot hand. Like, they have no idea what they're doing. It's, you know, Isaiah Cannon some days, and it's Tyler Ulis other days. Isaiah Cannon is playing 17 to 19 minutes. Tyler Ulis is playing 23 to 22 minutes. This is with Devin Booker back. I mean... Sure, if you want to... The problem here is I'm sitting here going, okay, well, what can I expect out of them? They need to really start to try to dominate the game, or, you know, they need to have a really good game to get to 2025. And I don't like playing those guys. Like, I just don't like playing those type of guys that need to have a ceiling-type game to get me to 25 points. Like, we all know that if I don't have them projected for at least 20 in my model, that I'm not going to play them 95% of the time, unless they're going to play 35-plus minutes. And that's kind of the case here, is they're going to play around 20 minutes and give me around 15 fantasy points. I mean, unless there's a cheat code that means that I can only pay $3,000 for them on FanDuel instead of $4,000, then I'm not playing them.
Fair enough. One situation that I definitely wanted to point out today, Isaiah Thomas will be back – or not back, but he will make his Cleveland Cavs debut tonight. Be very cautious because he's only scheduled to play 8 to 12 minutes tonight. He's not playing on the back end of the back-to-back tomorrow in Boston, which I thought would have been an even better place for him to make his debut. But, you know, I know a couple people might be a little eager to get him in a lineup tonight. You know, it's the shiny new toy that came back around. But, again, if he's only playing 8 to 12 minutes, he is unplayable tonight.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Any other point guard situations that I failed to touch on?
Not that I can see.
All right. Let's get to the shooting guards tonight. Our boy Kent Bazemore, the doppelganger of Reggie from Ballers, will be in Phoenix tonight. he's got the best ADVP matchup of any player on tonight's slate. And I also like this, Devin Booker being back for the Suns. That significantly makes their defense just a lot worse.
It's true, but the way you said that is just hilarious.
Yes. I like Bazemore all over the board today. I already seen a couple guys in the Slack chat channel today loving them some Bazemore. Any reason not to put the Baze gaze on tonight?
I mean, it's hard not to. He's got a 45-point ceiling. I guess the only reason you don't, I honestly can't see it. I guess the only reason you don't is in hopes that he has just a mediocre game. Let's go to the GPP value chart here and do some math, you know, because we all like hashtag math on, I'm starting to sound like Adam Levitan. God. Okay, so he is what, 5,800. So 5.8 times. Question is, do you think he can get to 45 fantasy points today?
I think so. Against the Suns, sure. Up tempo, okay. Up everything, up. Yeah.
Well, that's what he needs to get in order to start hurting you. Now, the question is how much over 45 can he get? And here's where it starts to get a little bit interesting, because if you sit here and you look back at it, and you look at Mr. Kent Bazemore, who I think that the sites have done a pretty good job about making sure that there are, or at least FanDuel has, fair pricing, I think they should start upping the price of guys going into like Phoenix, Orlando, places like that. If you look at Orlando, the last time he faced Orlando, 27 minutes, 19.6 rebounds, 7 assists, 1 block, 3 steals, and 3 turnovers. That was 45 points.
That looks good.
Against Memphis, a pace-down game, he had 40 fantasy points. Against Miami, another pace-down game, 53. So we know that he can hit 50. We know that he can hit 45. The gamble that you're going to take if you decide to face or fade Bazemore, okay, is not whether or not he can hit that. Because if he doesn't, then you're golden. Even if he hits 35, that's a good game, but he's not going to kill you. Not at his ownership, not at his projected ownership tonight. You're golden still. The question is how do you want to attack it? In my opinion, you can go to a combination of like Lou Williams, CJ McCollum, depending on what the situation there in Los Angeles is. You can go to Dwayne Wade. You can go to Nick Batum. There's a lot of options. You don't have to play Bazemore tonight. I think for cash games that you should, obviously. Like, he's just 100%. Somebody just mentioned that Buddy Hield was a pivot off of George Hill, and I'm just – that's not a good pivot. Just completely different players. Buddy's more of a catch-and-shoot guy, kind of like a Klay Thompson type. George Hill's going to have the ball in his hands. He's a point guard. Anyways, back to Bazemore. If he gets the projected 28.85 points – then he's going to be great for your cash games. And anything over that, he's going to be a positive for your cash games. But in tournaments, with him being the Uber chalk tonight, it is worth the idea of fading him. And I probably will in one of my teams or a couple of my teams, depending on, I don't know what I'm quite doing yet, but there will probably be a couple fades of Bazemore. Devin Booker is in a great matchup and is only 8K. This after being named the face of the franchise for the team. I don't know if you can play Tyreke Evans at 9K on FanDuel. I understand the matchup. I understand everything about it. I just We know what the hard cap or the soft cap is for me at the shooting guard position for salary, and it's about $8,500 or so. $9,000 is a hard number to pay, but you're getting a cheat code with him because he's basically their point guard, and you're getting it at the shooting guard position. So that's kind of the way that you have to think about it a little bit. Now you're paying $9,000 and getting a third point guard in there. So if you pay down for George Hill at one point guard position, and then you pay, like, say, if you go to like a Dennis Schroeder at 77, then you can pay $9,000 for Tyreek and go down to a Kent Bazemore. I think that's going to be probably a very, very popular four-man combo on FanDuel for cash games.
Yeah, I can certainly see that. And, look, I just think going against the Phoenix Suns is going to be the greatest matchup that we got out here. So it's going to be very tough for me to do that. Now, one situation that I did – or that we kind of failed to mention. I thought I saw it earlier, but Lillard is playing tonight. So
is that confirmed?
Yeah, I saw that on Basketball Monster. He is in tonight. So he will be in – so obviously that takes Napier out of play, but – I don't mind McCollum here. Shooting guards have done pretty well here against the Cavs in the past, actually pretty much all season, so I don't mind going on that. I was looking at McCollum.
Especially if you think that Lillard is going to be limited in any sort of, like, driving capability, playmaking type. Like, right. I mean, that's a hamstring. So you got to think he might be a little – now, they have held him out kind of more – like, we've had the – questionable, is he going to play or is he not going to play type of situation for the last three games or two games that the Blazers have played. And I think they've played it really smart. So I don't think that there's going to – if he's playing tonight, I don't think there's going to be any limitations. I think they held him out yesterday knowing they were going to be on a back-to-back today, which is fine. That's smart. But I still think that C.J. McCollum's in play, like you said. Shooting guards have done pretty well against Cleveland. I do think that a great pivot for $300 more to pay up to be a little bit more contrarian is going to be Lou Williams. Lou Williams was actually less than 10% owned the other night and went off for, what, 58?
Yep.
So 56. So he's done pretty well. And I don't think he's going to be chalky with McCollum $300 cheaper.
I just had to make you can't see this in podcast land, but I just had to make this harrowing escape from the outside because somebody's like chopping a tree or something down like in a yard before. So I had to take the whole operation in while we were talking about with shooting guards, but I've made it. I have made it, my friend. I'm good.
I was wondering why it sounded like you were in the bathroom.
Oh, brutal. Hey, this is showbiz, folks. I like the – now, we got to know about this, right? So Memphis is an interesting situation today going up against the Clippers. Tyreke Evans usually going to be running the point there for him, but he is listed as a shooting guard. So, any way like a Harrison or a Chalmers, anything like that appealing up against the Clippers?
I'm not playing Mario Chalmers.
Gotcha.
He hasn't played.
I know. I'm saying what could be appealing.
Oh, I'm sorry. He's started to work about 15 minutes back into the rotation after not playing for the last two games. But Andrew Harrison, his minutes are down now again. Like they literally have no idea what they're doing at the point guard position without Mike Conley.
And I don't like it. All right. We also mentioned, too, Garrett Temple of the Kings tonight. He typically plays more at the three. But again, too, if he's going to be playing more backup point guard duties, that could be a very appealing spot as well. So definitely stay tuned for all that. All right, we good on shooting guards?
Yeah, because the only guys that are going to play at the three – oh, sorry. Yeah, we're good on shooting guards.
All right, well, let's get to that three, which we were talking about. LeBron James, as always, the headline at the position today. Now, this is interesting, right? Because like, it's a good ADVP matchup for LeBron. He's a small forward, blah, blah, blah. But as I have, you know, as I've written already for my article today, LeBron plays a position that not too many people in the NBA play, which is everywhere. So I'm not going to.
He even states so in his introductions on the Cavaliers radio broadcast. He goes, LeBron James, St. Vincent, St. Mary's, 6'10 or whatever it is, every position. And this is before Tyronn Lue.
That's kind of a dick move.
Yeah, dude, like, if you want to know anything about LeBron's personality, you just listen to that right there. LeBron James, 6'10, St. Vincent, St. Mary's, every position.
Everywhere. I'm all over the world. Nah, you got to pick one or the other, Brian. All right, but again, possibly no Kevin Love tonight for the Cavaliers. That can make a huge difference. You know, it's hysterical, though, right? Because we were talking about, you know, him not having a position. Everybody's just going to look blindly at that and see that the Cavs the Blazers are the second best matchup for a small forward on today's slate. All that's great and dandy, but, you know, Portland does have Al-Farouq Aminu, which can counteract him somewhat. Are you terribly worried about that matchup, or you think LeBron's in all systems go tonight no matter what?
I hate you.
Oh.
No, I love you too, Keith. The only thing that can make LeBron sound more conceited is if he would introduce himself as playmaker, which we all know there's only one playmaker in this world, and that is the one, James, the only, no sir, Michael Irvin. Michael Irvin is the playmaker.
Yeah, but that's just because it's his nickname, man. Come on, that's cheating.
It's true. It's not cheating if it's true,
I guess. I don't know. Try telling that to somebody's wife or husband. Oh, goodness. Okay.
We're on a roll today. LeBron, we don't need to discuss LeBron. If you fade him, you know what you're trying to accomplish. And if you fade him, it's because you're building a lineup with nobody more than 10K in your lineup.
And I wanted to mention this, too, because, all right, so Brandon Luz, who's now a mod. Congratulations. Glad to see a lot of our guys get some of the mod tags on there. But there was a situation that we had earlier this season where I was actually the one who said, hey, you know, let's fade the Greek. And this was like the first week of the season, but I said, hey, let's fade the Greek tonight because Aminu is going to be on him. But Luz, I remember at that time, brought up a good point where it's, you know, more of these guys like a Greek, LeBron, something like that. Like, you know, Aminu isn't as effective against those type of versatile players. You know, he's more effective against like your Blake Griffins, you know, like your LaMarcus Aldridge's, guys like that who, you know, are probably going to pound it down low. So, yeah, just wanted to add that thought in there, that note in there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure. Aminu's going to be on LeBron for a little bit, but the Cavs are very, very good about running screens to get switches. And, I mean, you're going to have – you're going to have a multitude of different guys. Like, you don't stop LeBron. You only hope that you can contain him. It is going to be kind of interesting tonight. I want to see how the Cavs work Isaiah Thomas into the rotation a little bit. We just got a question on Slack on does it hurt Dwayne Wade with IT now coming off the bench? And my answer is no, because he's only playing, you know, 12 minutes like we discussed. But if Love is out, then, and I don't care if Love plays or not, he's LeBron James is an option. But if Love is out for whatever reason, then, I think you can look at a couple different options. They're listed as power forwards on FanDuel, but Jeff Green and Jay Crowder become more of an option. Good luck trying to figure out which one's going to actually, you know, be the one to perform.
And hopefully you don't get Christmas Jeff Green.
Yeah, hopefully you get, like,
2-point lump of coal in your stocking, Jeff Green.
Yeah. Or
that's how I will always remember him, for ruining my Christmas.
I mean, this is a dude that can put up – he can play 26 minutes and put up 10 points, or he can play 26 minutes and put up 36 like he did last night. And those were his last two games where he played 26 minutes. You know, and then you've got Jay Crowder who can play 29 minutes and put up 25, or you've got him where he can play – 23 minutes and put up an 8. So, I mean, there's no safe answer for these guys. And it looks like Tristan Thompson is, you know, barely playing 20 minutes. So, I mean, that's I mean, if you're fading LeBron James, it's, you know, in my opinion, it's in hopes that this offense isn't at clicking as much with the with Kevin Love being out and then them trying to put in Isaiah Thomas. You're hoping that it takes them a game to kind of try to hopefully try to figure things out a little bit. But I don't see any issue in playing LeBron.
Fair enough. Also at the position tonight, TJ Warren going up against an Atlanta team, which could be a nice matchup for him. Warren's actually played some nice ball, and it's no coincidence that this good ball has started to come back around since Devin Booker has been there. I remember you had mentioned this at times this season. Well, here he is. Booker's back. Warren's starting to play better. I think, you know, the point that you made, Warren does better with floor spacing and having that dynamic shooter like Booker around. Whereas when Warren is the main option, you know, he doesn't handle that role as well.
I like TJ Warren a lot better with Booker in the lineup.
As I just stated, yeah.
Yes, and I was just confirming and
I know it's been a while. We gotta confirm. Yes, okay.
No, I was just reaffirming the fact. I think it's no coincidence that with Booker back in the lineup came against the game against Memphis, and it took him a game to kind of get used to the spacing again a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then the last two games, he's actually performed pretty well, putting up 26 and 28 real life points. The difference is, you know, we know that he can score, but we need him to contribute in other areas in order to really, 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 you know, pay off his salary and really start to test his ceiling. You know, that's kind of my thoughts on that. Do I think he can do it against Atlanta tonight? Absolutely. Like, I have no issues with playing him at all. I have no issues with playing Taurean Prince at all either.
It's a negative ADVP matchup for small forwards up against Phoenix, which has always been interesting. But you're right; it's not a place that I'm nervous about going.
Yeah, I mean TJ Warren's gotten a little bit better on defense, but it's not something I'm really worried about. It's just kind of, you know, there.
let's do this. Can we make your Kawhi claim official just right here on the podcast, short and sweet?
Yeah, you're not playing Kawhi Leonard tonight.
Okay, good. Neither am I. Is he still on a minutes restriction, just being eased back in? What's going on here?
He's on a minutes restriction until, at least in my mind, until I see him play 35 minutes. It's just that simple. So here's one of the reasons to look at it. Okay, so let's do this here. Let's pull up NBA.com, and I'm just going to go down the standings here for the Western Conference, okay? Because, no, I don't want to sign up. I'm already a member.
He is a member. I know this for a fact.
Okay, so in the Western Conference, this is what you got, okay? You've got Golden State, Houston, San Antonio, Minnesota. You now see Houston without James Harden for, I'm going to guess, we don't see him back before the All-Star break. I know they say 2 weeks, but the dude's got a grade 2 strain of the hamstring. I mean, you don't need him for January. You need him for March and April, okay? You need him for June. you're not bringing James Harden back if you've got a top three seed. You know, the only way I see them rushing James Harden back is if they, like, if they somehow don't win a game for the next 2 weeks, and then they start pushing him back a little bit. Mm-hmm. As if a top three, top four seed starts to become in question, which, you know, technically it could.
Sure. Good conference.
But San Antonio has proven that they can, with Kawhi Leonard only playing 27 minutes every other game, that they can push for a top two seed. Right. I think Golden State's about to start running away with the top seed. But you've got Oklahoma City playing a lot better. You know, they should be 21-16, but they're not.
You know, it's funny. I saw that play when I got back from the Nets game on Friday. Oh,
there's
my God.
There's no, like, how you can review, like, why you need to be that's – we'll talk about that later. We'll talk about that when Oklahoma City's on the site again.
With the record you were talking about, you have to – you were also assuming that they would win in overtime.
No, I'm saying that they should have – and that's true too.
I love that I'm right. It's awesome. And the other thing too that you want to look at with Kawhi Leonard, Tony Parker had the exact same injury that he did. And if you take a look at Tony Parker's game log, I mean, they kept him – I get what you're saying, but I'm just saying the sliding scale of being held back, you can take that into what Kawhi's going through right now.
Yeah, they know that they can't win the NBA title without Kawhi Leonard. That was proven last year.
Indeed it was, yes. In four games.
So Pop is not going to – I would say we're not going to see Kawhi playing back-to-back games, of more than 33-plus minutes until after the All-Star break, mm-hmm. When we start getting down to crunch time. Like, I'm just not playing him. Like, yeah, I know that he can go for – if he gets 28 minutes, he can go for 45. And if Kawhi Leonard is the guy that beats me in tournaments, then so be it. Not that I don't like Kawhi, but – if you look at it, like, they're only two games behind Houston for the two seed, and they're four games behind Golden State. Pop really doesn't care, like, what he gets. Like, he wants a top three seed. You know, he would love a top two seed, but he really wants a top three seed. Like, that's all that he cares about. I don't see Minnesota really, really, really pushing Houston and San Antonio for a top two seed. Like, they're good, and Jimmy Butler and Jeff Teague have made – but they just lost Jeff Teague for multiple weeks.
Yep.
You know, like, that's a good team. But they're not of the upper echelon of team as far as talent like I see Golden State and Houston and San Antonio and Oklahoma City when they're on, you know – full strength, hitting on all cylinders.
Yep.
Like, they're a top. They're a five seed. But
yeah, you know, I would say borderline like 4-6, probably somewhere in there.
I mean, to be completely honest, the West seeding. Well, maybe not with Griffin back now. To be completely honest, right now, the playoff teams in the West are pretty much set. You're just looking at seeding. I mean, the Clippers might be able to make a run at New Orleans. You know, Denver, maybe they can hold serve until Paul Millsap gets back. You know, Portland's kind of held a little bit there for a little bit, you know, while Damian Lillard's out. But, like, I think, like, the seeding in the West is pretty much done, or the playoff teams are pretty much done, minus somebody squirting to that 8 seed. And by somebody, I mean the Clippers, because other than the Clippers, I don't think anybody else really can unless Utah makes a little bit of a run, mm-hmm. Which I guess is possible. It's just seeding. you know, a game and a half separates the 5 through 8 seeds. A game and a half.
Crazy.
And Oklahoma City is playing so much better. If they can Paul, you know, if Robertson's going to be out for the next couple games. So that's going to be a little, like, that's going to have their defense take a hit a little bit.
No, but they'll probably be better on offense.
Well, no, because they need, because Robertson is so good at the backdoor cuts with the timing with Russ, and he's getting better with that timing with George. As long as we can keep George on the court, and when Robertson gets back, like, the way that they've played over the last, and I always said Christmas. Have I not said that? All Christmas.
I heard you say it multiple times in November.
Know, let me see how they're playing around Christmas, and then we'll go from there. And they're playing very, very, very well. You know, they're not a team that's going to blow a lot of people out most of the time. They're not going to, you know, win by 38 out of 10 games like Golden State is. They're very tough to beat at home. They're 14-6 at home. They're 6-11 on the road. They've got to shore that up a little bit. But they're 7-3 in their last 10. And that's with Robertson and George both missing games. I mean, it's just the West is it's seeding to me. And San Antonio does not need Kawhi Leonard to take over that 2 seed every single game playing 35-plus minutes. So until he plays back-to-back games, first off, and until he plays a game over 30 minutes, even on the non-end of a back-to-back or whatever, then I'm not playing Kawhi Leonard. If he's 6,500, we're having a completely different conversation. But not at 7,500. And I think his price is only going to continue to go up.
Boom. Great discussion. All right. So for the rest of the small forwards, remember we got guys on there like Torian Prince, we talked about, Courtney Lee, Michael K. Gilchrist. Any interest? I mean, Evan Turner had a big night last night, but that was a good ADVP matchup for him.
Here's a question. Here's a question for you. Okay. We just had this conversation about Kawhi Leonard, right?
Sure.
Have you seen, like, Rudy Gay's out for, I think, 2 weeks?
Something like that, sure.
Kyle Anderson is all the way down to $4,200.
Yep.
In tournaments, can you take a shot on him
at $4,200? I think so. And you get a little bit of narrative with him there. Anderson is a Jersey boy, so this is basically his homecoming playing in New York tonight. So you certainly got that.
I kind of like Kyle Anderson.
He's coming home, coming home. Tell the world he's coming home. The official comeback song of the DFS Hornet.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right, so we've got Anderson there. I like that. All right, anybody else before we move on to the power side of these forwards?
Evan Turner's interesting.
Yep.
He's played 30 minutes in back-to-back games now. I'm not looking for a 10X type of ceiling. But
like last night?
Yeah, like last night. But, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibilities. He can score 20 points.
it's so funny. On my notes yesterday, I go, you know, for small forwards, I just threw away. I was like, oh, yeah, for whatever it's worth, Evan Turner, Denzel Valentine, both have good ADVP matchups. And then, boom, ding, bang.
Did they both hit?
I don't know about Valentine, but I know Turner went banana. He had like 32 or 33 last night. So there is that. All right. We ready to go to power forwards? Good, great, grand, wonderful, outstanding. All right. So we got some nice talent here at the position tonight. So we got Kristaps Porzingis, LaMarcus Aldridge going head to head against each other. That headlines everything, but let's not forget Blake Griffin back in the mix, had some nice games here. His price went up a little bit. You got the guys from Atlanta and from Phoenix both in good matchups here against one another. But I guess what's the most appealing to you out of all that? I gave you so many of Ewing. You're not playing Porzingis.
No, I would rather play Blake Griffin than LaMarcus Aldridge.
Even though Porzingis has posted at least 40 FanDuel points in 4 of his 5 career games against the Spurs.
Yes.
Okay.
I consider myself lucky against New Orleans because of the type of slate it was and everything that happened. And, you know, he looks like he's healthy again. You know, putting up at least 40, 45. But now at 9,500, being the most expensive power forward on the slate, I think I would much, much rather go to Blake for 500 cheaper, or just go all the way down to LaMarcus Aldridge in the same matchup.
Yep, you sure got all those opportunities. And again, a guy like LaMarcus Aldridge, these guys played each other last week. And I talked about this matchup where I said a guy like Aldridge is going to be needed one way or the other, whether that's going up against Porzingis or Kander. I mean, hell, they can even put him on Michael Beasley if he starts going off as well. So I think for LaMarcus Aldridge, there's just a huge need for him against the Knicks tonight. So, I agree. I like him in any event. How about Marquese Chris lately, man? I mean, this is a guy that – I know I've totally, like, ripped off from any importance to my brain. I threw him away a long time ago. But 4 straight games where he's hit or exceeded 5X value. He's got a nice matchup here against Atlanta. And then the other side of things, too. I mean, Ilyasova, you know, more of a prolific scorer here for the Hawks. But you also got John Collins, who we know is going to spend some time at center tonight. Still a good ADVB matchup for, you know, going up against Phoenix. I mean, there's a lot of goodness loaded in that game at the power forward position.
Yeah, there is. I like John Collins. I think that he's, you know, going to play 25 minutes. And, you know, the problem is like, I want more than 25 minutes for 5,900. Mm-hmm. Even in a good matchup, I want more than 25 minutes at 5,900. I want over 30. So he's probably not going to make the cut tonight. Especially since I can go get Ersan for 200 less playing closer to 30 minutes. Marquese Chris is interesting. Because last night, New Year's Eve, and I don't know, I didn't watch a lot of basketball New Year's Eve. I
didn't watch any.
I don't know a lot of what happened, so I'm going to have to go back and watch.
I got
to
tell you, you know,
but he only played 20 minutes.
On New Year's Eve, you know where I ate? At Harrison Ford's son's restaurant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So did you get to speak with Han Solo himself?
I did not. The Fugitive was not in the building that night, but yeah, it's funny because his son's all tatted up. It looks nothing like him, but it was fun. His son actually won Top Chef one year. They have a show on like the Food Network called Top Chef, and he won it.
I've heard of Chef.
It's big with the foodies out there. They know.
Dude, my wife watches Food Network all the time. Like, I've heard of Chopped. I've heard of Iron Chef. Like, Cupcake Wars.
Top Chef. On Bravo. I just Googled it in like 2 seconds. It was right up there.
Network.
Oh, all right. Well, so what? It's some network.
Yeah, jeez. But Food Network and Bravo are completely different things. Like, we don't watch Bravo in our house a lot, but we watch Food Network a lot.
I gotta be honest with you. I too, the TV in my home does not go by Bravo much either. So, what do you want me to tell you? I didn't even know Harrison Ford had a son until we went there. So, what, you know?
Of course he does.
I wasn't prepared.
It's you know Kylo Ren. You know him and Leia had.
Oh man.
People, if we had anybody on the fence about you know joining the army, they have now totally just. Like shut off the podcast because I.
Oh, you think I think they're in? I think all this stuff is interesting to people. I think you know. So yeah, we're gonna talk about fantasy basketball, but it's also life out here, folks. Lifestyle, entertainment, all sorts of things, man. Don't even get me started on how the people in Miami are smelling. Everybody's got like the top perfume or cologne. It's amazing. They know what they're doing down there. It's good. All right, back to power forwards. Yeah, so we mentioned the guys out there, but let's talk about Michael Beasley for a second, right?
Do we have to?
Yes, because people need to be explained. People need to be explained to,
okay.
Right?
Explain. So, I was about to say, wait a second here. No,
so you
don't.
So the thing is with Beasley has always been do not play him when Kristaps Porzingis is in the lineup. However, there have been a couple games recently that he has gone off, even with Kristaps Porzingis in the lineup. But there's also some games where he only plays 15 minutes. There's some games where he doesn't even make 20 minutes. But, you know, it's something that I'm trying to analyze, like when is it going to happen? Because remember, when these two teams saw each other last week, Beasley absolutely went off. So, you know, what was it? Was it a matchup? Was it just luck? I mean, we know that when Beasley comes into the game, he's chucking. It's just how much of an opportunity is he going to be provided to chuck?
Exactly. You can't play.
Well, no, I think it needs to be explained because a lot of people see, you know, again, people who don't follow basketball, they see Beasley going off for 45 games and they want to ask themselves, what did I miss? You know, you didn't miss anything. It's an odd situation that the Knicks have. Like, Beasley definitely should be getting more minutes. I've been calling for him to get more minutes, you know, for forever, it seems like. But again, he's just not going to get that many minutes with Porzingis in the lineup in certain matchups. Courtney Lee, you know, he's going to be needed a lot of times. So, you know, these are all things that you have to take into account. I do think that there are some lineups that they can put out there where you get Beasley at the four and you get Porzingis at the five. I think it's doable. It's just it hasn't been happening on a consistent basis.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can't – if you're scripting 150 tonight or 20 or whatever, sure, you can work Beasley in there a couple lineups, yeah. You know. But if you're building a constrained core, you know, you can't do that.
Right.
It's just not like I'm fine with Michael Beasley beating me if Kristaps Porzingis is in. Yep. Like I'm especially at 5,200. Like, what is his price on DraftKings? Hold on here.
Bring it up. Let's get the price check tool going.
Michael Beasley is here. Let's just type in his freaking name.
Jeez, even typing Beasley's name.
4,600. I.
Too funny. Hey, bit of breaking news right here. De'Aaron Fox available to play tonight. Remember, I said I think it's a faux. I think it's a faux.
I think he comes in and plays like 15 to 20 minutes to spell George Hill and give Hill a breather.
He's a faux play tonight. He does not affect me one way or the other with George Hill.
He's not a play. He's in to give George Hill a breather.
Well, hey, faux. I was not talking the guy up by calling him a faux play. I might as well have called him an a-hole. Anywho, one more guy I wanted to talk about tonight, the power forward position. Frank Kaminsky's had some nice games lately, taking on a Sacramento team that is just not good at all down low defensively. Any interest here? I mean, same exact price range as Michael Beasley.
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
I
had Kaminsky the other night against the Clippers, similar sort of team.
I would be more willing to take a shot on Kaminsky. Because he's more likely to play 30 minutes.
Yeah. But I'm looking here at who his matchup might be going up against the second unit here.
It looks like Scal's kind of Kufis? Finally worked his way back into the rotation. No, Kufis is going to be at the five. It's either going to be Scal or it's going to be Jakar Sampson. But Jakar Sampson hasn't played since the 10th of December. So it's, you know, a Justin Jackson, Vince Carter type.
Well, yeah, the reason I was thinking about, you know, with going up against centers, I mean, you know, depending on how the rotation is going to work, he very well could be that backup center. I know Johnny O'Brien does some work there as well. But, you know, I mean, the power forward and center positions are basically manned by Marv, Dwight Howard and Kaminsky. So, you know, I think he could see some time at center, but yeah, probably more at power forward. Mm-hmm. So I dig either way. All right, let's close off this shindig talking about the big guys down low. They're called the centers. Got some nice matchups here that we got to look into. So the best ADVP matchup tonight for a center, Marc Gasol, going up against the Los Angeles Clippers. This used to be a pretty good rivalry. I wonder if he, when he sees the Clippers, if he still sees red. But I don't think that really matters so much because every big going up against the Clippers has been doing damage. And, you know, this is his chance to do so here.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, DeAndre Jordan's been talked about getting shipped out of town.
Yep.
Like, I think DeAndre Jordan's a great play tonight going up against Marc Gasol. Nobody's going to play him.
No.
And he's got legit 45-point upside at 7,500. I mean, this is a guy that we've paid 8,800 for at times. Granted, yep, that was with Chris Paul in the lineup and everything. But, you know, I think this is, you know, if you're building a couple lineups, this is a great thing. You know, ping pong the lineups off of each other with Marc Gasol and DeAndre Jordan. Nobody's going to play these guys tonight. Nobody is going to play these guys tonight. Like, your chalk is going to be Yusef Nurkic, Enes. Well, Enes Kanter isn't going to be chalky, but it's just nobody's going to play these guys tonight.
No, and you bring up a very interesting point there about DeAndre Jordan being, you know, basically a thousand and change below what, you know, his price has been lately. I know Blake Griffin back in the lineup, you know, that could hurt him a little bit. But again, I think, you know, again, we talk about these bigs and how much they're needed in a certain matchup. Well, they definitely need him to go up against Marc Gasol. So, again, I think his minutes are safe. I think his opportunities are going to be there as well. And again, you get that significant price decrease on him today as well. So I don't mind that at all. Looking at the rebounding matchup, I've added the rebounding ratings to the depth chart hub now. But if you take a look at it for the Charlotte-Sacramento game, Charlotte has a huge mismatch over Sacramento tonight in that regard. Again, guys down low have been pounding Sacramento all season long. So this could be a very, very nice statistical evening for Dwight Howard. I'm talking possible Barbara Walters in the building tonight.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I mean, Dwight Howard, he seems to like it in Charlotte. And yeah, when Dwight Howard is actually enjoying playing basketball, he's very good at playing basketball.
That's what he gets paid to do.
Exactly. He had a tough stretch there with New York, Toronto, and Milwaukee. But, I mean, the all three of them good matchups, and he sucked at all three of them. So, it's just, you know.
Well, we got the charts, man.
Exactly. Sacramento's again. It's flowchart, you know. Center, yep. Is Sacramento on the slate? Yes. Does the team Sacramento playing have a decent center, or a center at all? Somebody that is going to be on the court playing the five? Yes. Is he available to play on and roster on FanDuel in cash games and tournaments? Yes. Does it make sense? Well, if he's available, it makes sense. Yes. Play him. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, if we look at the ADVP matchup, I honestly, here, let's sort by a just by all positions ADVP. Kent Bazemore has the best. Dwight Howard is still in the top 10.
Boom.
As far as just like, this is without like doubling up,
right,
on, you know, like two small forward or two power forwards like Ersan and Collins and, you know, like the Memphis shooting or, you know, well, Memphis, the Clippers just in general are all good. So, yeah.
All right. Another matchup I want to talk about, the Phoenix Suns going up against the Atlanta Hawks. So Greg Monroe's been in, coaches, not, what do they call that? A CPD, whatever the hell they call it. CDP. CDNP? I don't know, whatever. But,
DNPCD.
Yes, there we go. There we go. So he's going, or, Chandler Lynn going up tonight against Atlanta. Monroe's been out the last four games, hasn't played at all. And you look at Tyson Chandler, he's played at least 29 minutes in three of the last four games. I mean, 4,500 on FanDuel isn't bad. He's the guy getting the minutes. Great matchup. Could we trust it? Ugh.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, what the hell, right? I mean, no big deal. It's funny, though, because he, like, on FanDuel anyway, Dwight Howard is at 8,900. Chandler nearly cut his price, cut right down the middle right there at 4,500 in what could be a good matchup, too. So, you know, if you're looking to spend down, that's probably the way I would go. And anything else at the center position catch your eye?
Like I said, I really do like the combination. I mean, yeah, Willie Cauley-Stein, Yusuf Nurkic. Tyson Chandler is back-to-back. Okay, so back-to-back games now has played 29 and 30 minutes.
Yep.
He seems like he's more effective in shorter stints. Like, his ceiling is literally 25. And if you get anything over that, like, I think the 41-point game against Philly is an aberration. Mm-hmm. Against Boston is the aberration. Like, you're looking for 25 to 30. If I can get 30 in cash games out of Tyson Chandler, 25 really I'll be happy with. But if I could get, like, those two, then I'm fine. The question I have, like, because Tyson Chandler has already been announced as starter. So I don't have to worry about Greg Monroe. It's just kind of one of those things. It's just, if I'm going down that far, I'm going to him, and that's it.
All right, let's talk about Pau Gasol then before the podcast is over. But you look at his last game there against Detroit. He only plays 21 minutes. Tough matchup against Andre Drummond. However, you look at his games before that against the Knicks, who he faces tonight, 40.7. Against Brooklyn, 38.9. Sacramento, another great matchup, 41.2. I mean, Portland, even in a very tough matchup, he had just below 50 fantasy points there. I mean, according to the ADVP, you know, power forward is the way to go against the Knicks this season, which I think is sort of crazy because, you know, the length of Porzingis makes things a lot harder on people. But again, like,
but he's not going up against Porzingis.
No, he's not. That, you know,
he's going up against Enes Kanter, who's a turnstile.
Indeed.
And
indeed. That's where I was going.
Who's the other guy? Kyle Quinn.
Yes.
Who very could short, be on the trading block, man. By the way.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
There was a report because he's a free agent after this season, so okay. Or he can opt out after this season. So
and they can finally get Hernan Gomez some minutes. That'd be nice.
And that's the thing that they're talking about is they're wondering if they try to unload him since he's, you know, having basically a career year and he can opt out to get more money.
Gotcha.
If he's going to get that taken care of. Or if he's going to opt out, if they can get something, anything, even if it's a trade exception back.
Right.
And this is about the time of year that we're going to have to start, you know, paying attention to these trade rumors. Because it's going to start getting real, real quick. And we'll have a did we do it last year? I know we did it 2 years ago where we had a podcast just specifically on guys.
Yeah.
I don't think
we
did.
Yeah, I thought we did it last year.
We did. But we'll have our annual trade deadline breakdown podcast.
Yay!
And we'll do that. But it's something that we have to watch out for because I think they readjusted it this year where the trade deadline is right before the All-Star break.
Instead of
Well, remember last year they had the because you in the NBA
that's how Boogie got to NOLA.
Yeah, he represents Sacramento in the All-Star game, and then the day afterwards, or no, wait, it was the day before, wasn't it?
I thought it was the night, like I thought it was like hours after the All-Star game.
Yeah, okay.
The trade happened.
And exactly. So I think they made it a couple days before the All-Star break actually happens.
Interesting.
And
that's
in the NBA for the All-Star break, you literally take like a week off. It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah I agree. I love the week off.
So, oh yeah, so does my wife. She loads me down with to-dos.
Yep. All right, so back to Gasol here. I mean, you like him here against the Knicks?
Yeah. I don't mind him, especially at 7,200.
Yes, very true. All right, any more centers before we wrap up this shindig?
No, I think we're good.
All right. Well, once again, folks, if you like what you heard, you want to join us 24/7, you can do so. Go to DFSArmy.com. Use the promo code podcast to get 10% off each month of your subscription. Also want to give a huge shout out to David Barlow. Took home 250 grand this weekend on NFL. And this guy has been probably our top gross earning member that we've had here at the DFS Army. He had a nice takedown during basketball as well. He got the ticket to the live finals in Springfield, Mass, which as of hours ago, me, Giger, confirmed. I know Keith is going to be in, but he says he's trying to get the ticket there instead of just going the way that me and Geek are going. But I have faith in you. I think that you will definitely get it, you little Q whore, you. But
I've actually, you know, this is what's hilarious is we're 35 guys or 36 guys into queuing, qualifying. Like that's how many seats have been taken.
Out of how many? 100?
Yes. I've yet to take a shot.
Really?
Yes. I have been
saving your best bullets for last.
I have been like one of my strict goals this basketball season was to perform really, really good bankroll management. And, you know, other than a slip up here and a slip up there, I've been very, very good. That's about to go out the window because I'm about to start taking my shots.
Nice. Very nice. Very
so
nice.
I will be there. It's just a matter of fact of one, if I can get a seat, and two, if I do, how many? And if I don't, then I'll be there. You know, I'll be there no matter what.
Definitely.
It's just the question now is whether or not my wife will be joining me.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, the more the merrier. We'll have rock in the DFS Army pom-poms. But, again, thanks to David Barlow, who gave us the opportunity to all go up there with him. So much appreciated for that. And, yeah, we're definitely going to have a good time out there in Springfield, Massachusetts. I know. How the hell are you going to have a good time in Springfield, Massachusetts? I don't know.
It's about, what, 45 minutes away from Boston?
Yeah, we'll find a way. But more, and as Geek told me already, we need you sober while you're there, Al. I said, hey, I know. I'm a business guy. I'm a business first guy now, so don't worry. But again, thanks for everybody tuning into the podcast. We will be back tomorrow, another full Wednesday slate. As always, we got the NBA, so very excited about that. 12 games, my friends. 12 games. All right, for me, Keith, and the rest of the DFS Army, we go.
Peace out.